Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Text will be Galatians chapter 5, starting verse 19. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings." Sounds like Waffle House on Friday night. "And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, all of these, I could not spend just this little length of time today talking about every one of these works of the flesh that Paul writes about here, that he mentions. But there's one I think that we overlook because it's not a common word. And it's something that everybody will face. And it can be a nasty thing when it invades our life, and that is emulations. And that's what we're going to talk about for just a few minutes today. Let's pray one more time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, I know that your word is anointed already, but anoint, Lord, the teaching of your word now. Anoint the hearing of your word. Help us, Lord, to receive it, Lord, into our hearts, and just let it take root and grow and change us and help us today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated today. God is good. Emulations. Like I said, a lot of times, and that's in several places in the Bible, it can be listing all these things, and, you know, it's words that you're more familiar with, but a lot of times when things like this, it's just one thing after the other being listed, you hit a word like emulations, and it's just not a very common word. And so you just kind of go over it. But he does list emulations in these works of the flesh. He calls them and says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot of things that tells us about inheriting the kingdom of God, but he's saying right here, these are things that will get you to not inherit the kingdom when you're involved with these things, when these things have hold of your life. So emulations, again, listed among the works of the flesh, it's defined as effort to match or surpass a person or achievement, typically by imitation. And so if you think about it, somebody says, I want to emulate that. So there, in KJV terms, though, it's indicative of jealousy, envy, rivalry, comparison. And so, you know, if I asked everybody in here today, have you ever compared yourself to someone and felt a little pang of jealousy? We all have or will face that at some point. And so I want to talk just a little bit about what Scripture says about jealousy, envy, the dangers that it brings, and how to overcome it. So in a negative sense, when you're talking about emulations, you would look at here at Galatians 5 and 20, it calls it a work of the flesh when it's talking about jealousy, envy, unhealthy rivalry. There is a positive sense to emulate something. Paul talks about it in Romans 11 and 14. He's talking about a desire to imitate good, to imitate the good things that are going on. But this sinful side, this work of the flesh, this emulations that Paul talks about here, there are a lot of biblical examples of it. Probably earliest is Cain and Abel. And there was that, God, he was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but not with Cain's. And Cain let that he started comparing, he started getting that envy, that jealousy. It led him to murder his brother. And I've said this many times, I can't remember who I heard say it first, that Cain sooner killed his brother than changed what he was doing. And that's what this will stir up in you, and when it gets a hold of you. You look at Joseph's brothers. Joseph is dreaming. He's telling them, God gave me this dream, and they start saying, hold on, who is this guy? Who's this little fella telling us, we're going to bow down to him? And, they ended up throwing him in a pit, sold him into slavery, faked his death, and made him made his father believe that he had lost his son, and it was out of that jealousy from what he was saying. A very notable example is Saul versus David. Saul's envy, it poisoned his kingship, it poisoned his mindset, it poisoned his whole reign and what God had set him up to do. And the truth is that jealousy, comparison, envy, it always ends up damaging relationships. It will corrode the heart. And there's a quote from Harold Coffin that says, envy is the art of counting the other fellow's blessings instead of your own. Now, when you look at spiritual consequences of emulations, of jealousy and strife and envy, jealousy, it will lead you to constant comparison. It's one thing to feel, that little pang of jealousy, and maybe you can get that under control, if you're in the right mindset and you know how to think, how to combat it. But if you let jealousy just continue, and you dwell and on that and let it just stir up, it will lead you to everything in your life, and especially what you're trying to accomplish for God and how you're trying to live for God. People do it. We do it as churches a lot of times, as bodies. We will have a constant comparison of ourselves to someone else. As a church, we can end up having a constant comparison to another church, how somebody else is doing it, what they've got versus what we don't have. And when you have that mindset of constant comparison, I'm constantly holding myself up to somebody else, it will lead to low self-esteem. And I'm trying to be less preachy and more teachy here today. I'm trying to be a little more practical. The Lord just laid this on my heart. But it will also increase anxiety and resentment in a person. And resentment is defined as bitter indignation at having been treated unfairly. And when jealousy takes root in you, you will constantly feel as if you are treated unfairly. Everything is unfair. Everything is, that's not fair. It's linked with depression just because you focus on what you lack rather than what God has given you, God's blessings. Instead of counting your blessings, you're counting what you don't have, what you feel like you're lacking. And it can be linked to depression. These are psychological studies. And when you look at the, that's mental and emotional health effects, and there are many more, but even physically, it affects your health. Envy, it raises stress hormones like cortisol. And cortisol, when it is produced in excess, it causes high blood pressure. It causes you not to sleep well. It can cause unhealthy weight gain. It can cause a weakened immune system. All these problems, and it comes from chronic jealousy. It comes from chronic comparing yourself to others. And it's like Paul wrote one time, comparing yourselves among yourselves. He said that's unwise. And so when it can start as a spiritual thing, but then it gets into your mind. It's a mental thing, and then it can turn into it can literally shorten a person's life. There are people that it kills them early because of the stress that they are under because of things like this. And that's for real. And so we have to be careful about things like this. Socrates said envy is the ulcer of the soul. Theodore Roosevelt said, comparison is a thief of joy. And that is true. And so what the Bible calls a work of the flesh, science confirms as literally damaging to our bodies and our minds and our health. And so we have to be careful about emulations. The best, when I'm teaching, especially I try and gather examples maybe from history and things, but the best historical example that I can think of this, even if you're not looking at it theologically, just as literal history, it would be the struggle between Saul and David. The biblical account, but as historical figures in Israel's monarchy, Saul was Israel's first king, strong, victorious in battle. But when David slew Goliath, and people saying Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, Saul's heart turned sour with envy. It ate him up. Jealousy consumed him. He tried multiple times to kill David. He neglected the responsibilities of his kingship. His bitterness isolated him, even from his own son, Jonathan. And ultimately, Saul's envy contributed to his own downfall and tragic death on the battlefield. And this is what's interesting, is that he died by his own sword. It was his own sword that he fell on. Envy, it blinds us to our calling, blinds us to how we should be living our life, to the important things in life. It eats away at our peace. There's no peace in envy. There's no peace in comparison. There's no peace in jealousy and strife. And Thomas Fuller said, envy shoots at others and wounds itself. And so when we want to overcome emulations, I want to overcome, and this is something that we're maybe slow to admit, but like I've said, everybody will deal with this in some way at some point. And you might think, oh, I'm not a very jealous person. I don't deal with envy really. But you will deal with comparing yourself to someone else. If you're trying to, and you know, even in a sense of, you know, just not what you're doing in the church, not what you're doing, you know, what you might call kingdom work or your walk with God, but your home life, you'll compare. I can't say anything about an experience of being a mom, but something that I see, and it's kind of a, I don't know. I guess it's come maybe with the rise of Reels and TikTok and Pinterest and you know, stuff like this, influencers. But man, it seems like young moms, they are constantly comparing themselves and what they're doing, how they're raising their kids, and it makes them feel like I'm not doing good enough. I'm not doing, you know, I thought I was doing this right, but they're doing this like this, and so I'm not doing this. And I think that maybe moms, ladies, they might deal with that a little more in the aspect of influencers online. And, you know, and I'm not big on influencers. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm not saying they're all trying to mess up people's mindsets in their lives, but people, man, they scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and watch. I mean, watch, you know, they watch them make coffee, you know, 10 times a day. They watch them while they're driving, and they're talking about, this is, I got my hair done at this place today. And it's just a constant comparison. And it eats away, and it makes, I think, especially our young ladies today feel like I'm missing it somehow. I need to have what they have. I need to be doing what they're doing. And men, we do it too. It's just in different ways. But we compare ourselves, and we think, I'm not doing this. I'm not measuring up to this standard. And that will create that jealousy, that envy. As a church, we have to be careful not to do that, because we may look, and I've said this many times, and I've been involved with district ministry long enough. I've seen enough behind the scenes. I've been into enough different churches, preached, been behind the scenes. I've seen enough to know that every church does it. And the church that you think has it all together because of what you see online is dealing with stuff that it's like, Lord, have mercy. I thought that we had some situations in our church. I can't even imagine dealing with this. You know, and so we think everybody has it all together except me, because all we see is highlight reels. All we see is the good stuff. And even people that say, I'm being raw and I'm being, you know, authentic, you still edited that picture a little bit. You still took the angle that you wanted it to be, you know. And it's, you know, we have to be careful, because it can start just as a little small thing. And it starts eating away at us just personally at home. And that'll start bleeding into what goes on at church. And it can start to affect people around you. And it can start to affect your walk with God. And we have to be careful about emulations and trying to... I'm trying to say this in a way today that will help us. But to overcome things like this, firstly, you want to walk in the Spirit, like the Bible says. Now, that doesn't mean that I am... you know, literally 24 hours a day that I'm praying, talking in tongues. That doesn't mean that, you know, I understand we have life to live. We have things to do. We have jobs. We have responsibilities. We have families, all this stuff. But to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 16, Paul wrote this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what he's saying is, feed the Spirit more than you feed the flesh. And he said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And that's where it comes from when people say, I want to do this good thing, but I keep doing the wrong thing. And Paul even said that at one point. He said, the stuff I want to do, I don't do. The stuff I don't want to do, I end up doing. So Paul struggled with it. But when it's talking about walking in the Spirit, we know the fruit of the Spirit is things, it's love and joy, peace. It's the opposite of jealousy. It's the opposite of that nasty green monster, that envy, that comparison. And we need to practice gratitude. Thank God for your blessings. Yeah. It's kind of an old saying, but count your blessings. I think you should do that literally sometimes. I think sometimes you should take a moment and you should literally sit down and count your blessings and say, you know, God has given me this. God's given me this. He's done this for me. He's, you know, just testify to yourself. Yeah. Count your blessings. Name them. Call them out loud. When you're going down the road, just call them out loud. Say, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. Practice gratitude. Yeah. Philippians 4:16 calls us to to make our request known unto God with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read that it's the will of God that in everything we give thanks. Gratitude and envy cannot coexist with each other. When I'm giving thanks, when my heart is full of gratitude, my heart is not full of envy. When my heart is full of gratitude, my heart is not full of envy and comparing myself to others. And I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. I'm grateful to God for what He's given me. And many times I say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for what you will do. And I think that's good to pray, to just speak that, pray that in faith. I think along with these things, we should celebrate others. Instead of competing with one another, I've heard it said, you know, probably 10 different variations of this, but we don't need to compete with one another in the church. We need to complete one another in the church. And I think that, you know, Romans 12:15, Paul said, rejoice with them that rejoice. If they're rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. If they have a blessing, I'm celebrating. If, you know, turn comparison into celebration. You know, thank God for the blessings that He's pouring out on others. We shouldn't look and say, man, I've been praying for that. They got it sooner than me. You know, and then here comes that little green monster. Starts working its way out. Starts building up. Starts stirring up. We can't be like that. As a church, we can't say, you know, we baptized 3 today, but they baptized 50 today. What's wrong with us? Can't start doing stuff like that. We can't say they seem like they've got it all together all the time and I don't, but you know, or they, you know, they got that promotion. They, you know, they got this pay raise. They got this new car. They got this new house. And, you know, I've been working at this forever, and it just seems like it's coming easy to everybody else. First of all, you have no idea what other people are going through and what it's taken to get where they are and the struggles that they've faced. And, you know, we're just seeing from the outside. But when your heart is filled with emulations and jealousy and envy, then that'll be where your mind goes first. That why do they have it and I don't? Why are they accomplishing this and I haven't seen this yet? Why are their prayers being answered and mine are not? But we should celebrate others. Because if you won't celebrate, I heard this said the other day, and I forget where I heard it. It was listening to a podcast or preaching or something, but if you can't celebrate when God blesses others, then you can't be trusted with that blessing. If you won't celebrate when God pours these things out for others, then you can't be trusted with it being poured out on you. Your heart, you got to get your heart right. You got to get your mindset right. You got to get that envy and that jealousy and that strife and that comparison and those emulations working in your life. You got to get it out. You got to get it out to make room for those blessings. Because it's not going to coexist. That stuff, bitter water, sweet water is not going to flow from the same fountain. So turn comparison into celebration. Something else you can do is find identity in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3-6 says, blessed be the God, our Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us. He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. I belong to Him. He is my Father. I'm branded with His name. He said, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
When you know your worth in Christ, jealousy loses its power.
Right.
When you know that my identity is found in him,
yes,
and that he's working in my life, and he is writing a story in my life that is nobody else's story. I'm glad for their story. I'm glad for what God's doing for them, but this is what God's doing for me. This is what my relationship with God is, my relationship with God. My identity in Christ is what he's making me. And Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide. Now that sounds extreme. But when you try to be someone else, you're essentially killing who God has made you. The you that God wants to make you is suffocating to death under a poorly held together mask of somebody else that you're trying to wear. We can't live like that. We can't live like that. And so to restate, emulations, jealousy, envy, it's destructive. It corrodes. It spiritually, mentally, physically, it rots. It corrodes. We have to be careful about this. It's something, you know. This might seem like a kind of a maybe a random subject to just, it almost feels like, you know, you just draw that out of a hat. I'll teach you about jealousy today, but it's something that I see, and it's something, you know, just in prayer, just the Lord just showing me things and just laying this on my heart that man, if people could just get out of that comparison. And now you can glean things from people. You can learn things from people. You can look at somebody and say, I want to be like that. You know, that's how I've always looked at Dad, and I thought, I want to preach like him. I want to have his mannerisms. I want to be like him. That's the greatest man to me I've ever known. But I can't be him. I can glean. I can learn. There are other men and women of God. There are people in my life that I love, friends, and I learn things from them. They have traits that I would like to work on that in myself. There's nothing wrong with that, and we should learn from one another. We should glean good things from one another. But I can't be anybody else. I've got to be who God is forming me to be. And there are things, as the church, it says we need to all come into the unity of the faith.
Yes.
So there are things that, there are values that we all hold. There are things in the Word of God that we all believe. There are standards that we hold ourselves to in the Word of God that we should all do. But when it comes to my individuality and who God's trying to form and make me, I can't be a cookie cutter of somebody else. I can't try and be, as a preacher, I can't try and be Jeff Arnold. I can't try and be Joel Urshan. I can't try. I can't even try and be pastor. I've got to be who God is forming me to be. And so, you know, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, you're not going to be another mom or a dad. You're learning. You're raising those children. You know, God is helping you to do that. You know, in your job, in your schooling, in every part of your life, you've got to not let emulations get a hold of you. You've got to learn to love and celebrate who God is making you, what he's doing in your life. And I think that some of us would realize that the thing that's been blocking that thing I'm praying for is my bad attitude. It's my jealousy. It's my comparison. It's that, I'm not just inherently a nasty, cynical, you know, person like this, but man, it's gotten a hold of me. And a lot of us sometimes will find that is what has been blocking the voice of God. That's what's been blocking that blessing, that thing I've been praying for. That is why that door has not opened yet, is because this comparison has gotten a hold of me. And I can't, I couldn't be trusted to step through that door and do it how God wants me to do it, because my spirit's not right. It's a work of the flesh, emulations. And if it's a work of the flesh, it's not a work of the Spirit. And I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I'm almost done here. Just a couple more minutes. If Mom, if you want to help us close out. But it's destructive spiritually, mentally, physically. And so I would challenge us this week, when jealousy arises, when that comparison starts rising up, stop and thank God for your blessings and thank God for somebody else's blessings. Thank God for what He's done in your life, and look at somebody else and say, God, thank you for what you're doing in their life. Thank you for what you're doing in my brother, my sister, my friend. Thank you, Lord. And then pray, Lord, bless them abundantly. Continue to bless them. Continue to open doors for them. Continue to let your favor shine on them. Pray those things and drive jealousy out. Pray those prayers and drive discontentment and envy and strife out. Emulations will start to lose its hold on you. Pray for them instead of resenting them. Celebrate them instead of resenting them. I want to close with Proverbs 14:30, and you can stand with me. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart, or a heart at peace, is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. It's something very serious that we need to consider, that we need to look at, because it's those little things that seem, it's like I said, when we're reading over that verse, you may have read that verse 50 times before. And you're just reading through, you know, witchcraft, hatred, drunkenness, fornication, but then emulations, and you pass right over it because we don't think about emulations. What was emulations? Now, if it said jealousy and envy, that would register a little more with us. But it's those little things. It's that work of the flesh. When I'm constantly trying to emulate. I'm in competition with. I'm trying to overtake and one up, and it can't be like that, because like Proverbs said, it will rot your bones. The structure will start to fall apart. The thing that if I was just, I need my bones. If I was just skin, that would be a really disturbing sight of maybe me just rolling, you know, around on the platform up here today. But I have bones, and so I'm standing up, and I'm, you know, it helps put together. And if envy is rotting my spiritual bones, then my structure, what's holding me together, it starts falling apart. And so we need today. I don't mean to bring us down today with this word. This is what the Lord laid on my heart to teach this morning. But it's just, and maybe you're not dealing with that, but we can examine ourselves. Yeah. We can say, Lord, if any hint of it is in me, if the seed is planted and it hasn't grown, but it might, Lord, just get it out. Lord, search my heart today. Search my heart. Give me a right mindset. Give me a right attitude. Give me a right perspective today, and don't let this work of the flesh take root in me. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Search me, Lord. and just shine a light, God. Shine a light on my soul today.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.